And it shall be my duty as district attorney not only to prosecute to the limit of the law all persons accused of crimes perpetrated within this county, but to defend with equal vigor the rights and privileges of all its citizens.
And that was the voice of Mr. District Attorney,
Mr. District Attorney,
champion of the people.
Yes, sir. Defender of truth.
And guardian?
Guardian of our fundamental rights to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
You even remember the announcer's line,
yes,
don't you? We're talking with Jay Johnston. We've traveled to Hollywood, California. We're in the, this is the poker room, I guess, or the finance room of the Maskers Club in Hollywood.
We better not say poker room.
All right, so it's the finance room.
Finance room. That's good. Well, I received a letter from a school teacher in Aurora, Illinois, which I always cherished. And she said that she was having an oral examination with her junior high school class. And one of the questions she asked, she had several of the parents in, you know, because it was sort of an occasion. One of the questions she asked was, where does the selection, all men are entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, come from? And she told me that without an instant's hesitation, the entire department roared, Mr. District Attorney. Of course, they knew differently, and of course, they knew that these were the words that came from our founding fathers some 200 years ago when they were framing the Constitution. But just instinctively, they had heard this so many weeks. Of course, we were on the air for about 15 years, and week after week, we were at the top show for over 10 years, the top show on the air, and then we were never out of the first 10 in the 15 years that we were on the air.
My goodness, that's amazing for a weekly,
yes,
dramatic adventure show.
Quite a record. We were very proud of it.
When did you say those familiar lines, you know,
yes,
and it shall be my duty every,
yes,
week?
Every week.
Because those were the days before tape and records and
that's
all
right.
That.
Well, we even, see, we did the show in New York, so of course we had to do a repeat performance. We did one at 9:30 on Wednesday night, and then of course we'd do a repeat for the West Coast at 12:30.
Wednesday night was
Wednesday night.
Our house. We always had the radio on, and we heard Mr. District Attorney Bristol Myers and Ipana,
yes,
and
yes,
Sal Hepatica.
Sal Hepatica, yes.
15 years. That's a long,
yes,
long time.
Well, we thought it would be a regular thing.
Were you? It was. It was. Jay Johnston, were you the one and only actor to be Mr. District Attorney?
No, I wasn't. As a matter of fact, it started with Dwight Weist? Yes, Dwight Weist, I think. And he was on as a summer replacement originally. The show was on. And then it started in the fall as a regular thing. And Ray Johnson played it. Dwight played it when it was wasn't a commercial show, when it wasn't sponsored. And then Ray Johnson played it for 13 weeks, and they decided to make change. And I remember it was, the 1st of October that I went into the show. And
now what year was this?
Well, it was 1939,
I suppose.
39, yes, somewhere around it, 39 or 40. Yes, because we went off. We went off in 56, 55 or 56.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it. And Ray Johnson, well, they had auditions for it and so forth and so on. And I was fortunate enough to get the role of Mr. District Attorney, and I enjoyed it for that many years.
I assume this was absolutely the very first thing you ever did on radio, right?
No, I can't say that, because I actually started in radio out here in California. I did some recording and was familiar with it, and then, of course, I was down at WLW in Cincinnati. You know, I was there for a couple of years.
You were involved there in a series of programs called Moon River.
Moon River, yes. worked on that. And, of course, my wife and I went down there, and we were both employed at WLW. She's an actress, or was at that time, was in the profession at that time. And we were there for 2 years, and then I decided to go to New York. So that was it. And I remember very distinctly when I left WLW, why I was doing the leads in three or four different things. I mean, in The Life of Mary Southern, I played Max Tilly, the lead in that, lead opposite Mary. Of course, I couldn't do the female lead. And then we had a show called Salute to the Cities, and I was the sort of majordomo of that. We had an orchestra, actually a band, and going through various cities in the United States and pointing out the places of interest in them. And then I did Smoke Dreams, which was another show, which was recalling shows that I had been to in New York and talking to my dog, you know, and just remembering, you know, the various things. And of course the orchestra would go into the various familiar numbers that were taken from these musical shows that I had seen in New York. And then, which was probably the start of the idea of doing the type of thing in Mr. District Attorney was, what was his name? But he was an investigator of some kind.
Mm-hmm. You did a program once with Vicky Vola.
Oh, yes.
Was that Foreign Assignment? I found somewhere in my notes.
Well, I did Foreign Assignment. Uh-huh. But Vicky was the secretary on Mr. District Attorney.
Miss Miller.
Yes, Miss Miller. Uh-huh. She was Miss Miller, of course, for many years. Before she got the part of the secretary, Arlene Francis was doing it. She was my secretary.
Miss Miller? She played the role of Miss Miller?
It was a different name. Uh-huh. It wasn't Miss Miller. They had changed the name at that time. Len Doyle was
Harrington.
Harrington, that's right, of course. He played Harrington for many years.
Are those folks still active?
Well, Vicky is. She's in New York. Uh-huh. I heard from her just recently. But Lenny has passed on. Uh-huh. He was in, as I understand, I wasn't in New York at the time I had come out here. Some kind of an auto accident from which he seemingly didn't recover entirely. It just unnerved him or something.
Well, you folks were regular visitors in millions of households week in and
yes,
week out.
Yes,
you know?
We were.
Before your radio days, did you work in any other area of show business?
I started in so-called stock companies for about 6 years. Excuse me. And I think anybody who is going to do any dramatic radio should have some actual experience on the stage, because I think it's very, very important as far as the interpretation of a part, so a dramatic part is concerned. And I don't think you can do it just by getting up and have your lines, of course, with you in radio, but it takes more than just the words. It takes an interpretation of the part, which you learn from stock companies and doing parts on stage. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very important for anyone deciding to do dramatic radio to have a background of the stage.
During your Mr. District Attorney years, were you, I know you were so very much identified with that role, were you able to do anything else on radio at that same time?
Yes, I used to do a lot of shows. At one time, I know I did so many shows that particular week because, as I said, we had to do the repeats, mm-hmm. you know, and the show and repeat them live. They didn't tape them. They had no tape at that time. And I did 30 some shows in the week. They were mostly about 7.5 hour shows and the other quarter hour shows. But
you were on soap operas?
Yes, soap operas.
Were you on the major evening shows too and other in other roles?
Well, I was on Second Husband mm-hmm. with Helen Menken. I played that for about 8 years, a part in that. Ben Porter. And let's see. I forget what the others were, but
It's a long trip back.
We did the Parker family. I was the father in the Parker family for about 5 years. That was with Leon Janney. That was on Sunday nights.
Now, Mr. District Attorney lasted almost to the end of radio, which showed, of course, its great durability.
Yes, that's right, it did.
Mm-hmm. And it was transferred to television. Now, did you play in the television version of Mr. D.A.?
The first year that it was on the air. And at that time, they had what they call the kinescopes, you know, mm-hmm. and they weren't very satisfactory. And then the title was purchased by the Ziv company. I don't know. Uh-huh. They just bought the title and ignored the cast that we had, I mean, as far as anybody of radio is concerned. But they took it and made it an entirely different show. In fact, it was practically a whodunit. They eliminated Harrington and Miss Miller. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the same show.
I think they had David Bryan
yes,
in that role.
That's right.
And he had something that the original Mr. District Attorney never had. I think he had a name.
Mm.
You know, because when you were Mr. District Attorney, you were always Chief or Mr. D.A. or the D.A. or that.
I never had a name.
That's right.
My nickname was Blackie. And they did that because I really was a great devotee of Blackstone, you know.
They called you Blackie on the air?
Sometimes, unfamiliarly, you know, certain situations that lent themselves to it.
You were quite a crusading district attorney. I mean, you really were an investigative
It was more or less patterned after Tom Dewey, you know, from the time that he was when he was district attorney of New York. And I remember on the 10th anniversary, Dewey was invited to a little party that we had at the Stork Club. I went over to the hotel to invite him, and he said at that time, and this was just shortly after he had been defeated by Mr. Truman, and He said, "Well, Jay, you've been successful. Let me give you a little advice," he said. "You've been successful as a district attorney. My advice to you is not to try to advance politically."
He had a little experience in that area.
Yes.
He never actually appeared on the program, though, did he?
No.
Another show that was a police program that I don't believe you were involved with was Gangbusters. And they always had the... they had real names of police law enforcement officers, but they always appeared by proxy, they said, which meant that there was an actor there impersonating that person.
Of course.
Did Mr. D.A. always come from New York the whole run? Or did it move out here?
No, it was always from New York. Always from New York.
Now, you did get involved in television, even though it was not as the district attorney. You changed the roles in the courtroom, though.
That's right. I became a judge.
And what was that series?
That was Night Court. I did that for about 6 years. The judge on Night Court.
The concept of that program was rather interesting because didn't they at least claim to use actual attorneys?
Oh yes. No, not on that. Not on Night Court. That was on another show. I forget what show that was.
I get them mixed up, too. But it seems to me that there was always the prosecutor and defense attorneys, and they were...
that was another show, a Night Court.
Night Court was scripted, and...
Yes, scripted. That's right. It was a scripted show. But it was taken from actual cases, as mm-hmm. I understand. Mm-hmm. And I saw a good many of the cases.
You were involved in any other television?
Not as a series. No, not as a series. I did a lot of individual things. Personal appearances mm-hmm. or so. Mm-hmm.
What have you been doing since you moved out to California?
Well,
I guess that was the TV series came from here.
That's right. Came from here. We just decided to come out here, and you know, it's a little easier living than it is in New York. You don't have to fight any of the snow and so forth. I like New York. I still like New York. I like living there. We lived there for many years.
I said when we first sat down that we were meeting in the Maskers Club in Hollywood. What exactly, for our listeners, is the Maskers Club?
Well, this is an actors club that was started from former members of the Lambs Club in New York, which also, as you know, is an actors mm-hmm. club. And they came out here, and so they became established in Hollywood, and they thought, well, we ought to have a club. So they started the Maskers Club, this year, in fact, is the 50th anniversary of the Maskers Club, which I think is pretty wonderful. And mm-hmm. we have our roster of presidents down there in the president's room.
I see paintings and photographs all over the hallowed halls of this club. How long have they been in this particular building?
Well, I think it's 50 years. I think it mm-hmm. goes...
Oh, right from the beginning?
Yeah, right from the beginning. Mm-hmm. In this building.
I couldn't help but be thrilled. I heard over the page before we started, someone was paging Mr. Gil Lamb.
That's right.
The noted comedian and eccentric dancer. He's a member here.
Oh, yes.
Who else might we bump into somewhere along the line?
You never tell who's liable to come. Romo Vincent, mm-hmm. he's another... name I'm sure that's familiar to a lot of people in the profession. There are many of them. That was Hal Dawson that you met coming uh-huh. in here, and Hal is, of course, has been identified with the stage and with pictures and radio for many years.
Well, you have been
all of his lifetime
very much involved in a very important phase of show business, and that is, of course, radio, which our prime interest is. And your voice and your talent added to the imagination of millions of people combined to make some fabulously entertaining years.
Thank you.
I kind of came out this way to thank you for doing those things for us and to wish you the best in the future. And once again, thanks, Jay Jostin, for everything you've done for the good old days of radio.
Not at all. Thank you, Chuck.